This is Jaden Reed, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by the trash man, the despicable trash man. We're going to be talking today about some dynasty sells, players that, you know, I think it's titled 10 players you must sell in dynasty. I was looking at it, trash man. That was going to be our title. I hate to say it, but I don't think any of these guys on my list are, you know, must sells. It feels like the market's kind of baking in some of the worries that I have about some of these guys. Maybe not for a few of them, but I think that mainly these are guys that you can consider selling right now in Dynasty based on what it's looking like as far as the market factors and as far as some of the trades that we're seeing go through in ways that you can possibly level up here with them. So I will start out. And the first one is an obvious one that we talked a little bit about yesterday, and that is Jalen McMillan for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And look, I understand that if you look right now at where he's ranked on Cody's favorite keep, trade, cut, it isn't like this guy is, you know, it's not like he's seen right now as a super duper fantasy asset. It looks like on that particular site, he's fallen. Let's see, to like 143 overall, he's fallen 42 spots. And I think that what that has to do is, I think it has to do with a couple of things. Mainly though, I think it has to do with Emeka Egbuka getting drafted by Tampa Bay, right?
No, he was on my list too.
To me, what I see here with this is that we never saw the correction, you know, after we found out that both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were going to be coming back in the best ball streets and the dynasty streets as it pertained to Jalen McMillan, whenever everybody thought that Chris Godwin would be moving on and Jalen McMillan would be moving up into the number two role, right? And his ADP got high enough to where I'm like, this is crazy. It's not even baking in the chance that Godwin could come back. And we've been there at the Senior Bowl and we talked to some of the best reporters covering the Bucks. The dudes over at Pewter Report. And we're like, what's the deal with Godwin? You know, they're like, don't even worry about it. He's going to come back. He wants to be here. His family wants to be here. All this stuff, right? The team loves him. They're going to bring him back. And we saw that is exactly what happened, right? He took less money to stay there in Tampa. They're expecting him to be fully healthy and ready to go. And Emeka Egbuka is better than Jalen McMillan. And so all of a sudden you go from evaluation earlier in the season that was baking in a good offense, the guy that could be stepping into a number two role, right? Kind of banking on that. Not sure of it, but thinking it might happen and kind of baking that in a little bit to where he was ADP wise to now a guy who looks like a locked in wide receiver four on an offense that, you know, did just lose their offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I understand what people will say. They'll say, well, if you would have had that same, if you had taken that same tack with the Bucks before, whenever Dave Canales moved on to the Panthers, you know, and you would have sold off all the Bucks, you wouldn't have been able to, you wouldn't have been able to have the success you did this year in the Bucs offense with Mayfield and with Mike Evans and Bucky Irving and with Chris Godwin before he got hurt. People forget that Chris Godwin was off to a mega start in 2024 before getting injured super early on. So I'm not sure that we can – I guess the new offensive coordinator there, Josh Grizzard, Grizzard. I don't know if it's Grizzard or Grizzard, but he's been there.
Grizzard.
Yeah, he's been there, right? So it's another one of these situations where the dude who's been there and has the familiarity with Baker Mayfield, the guy that Baker Mayfield says he's comfortable with, is stepping up into the role. So there's some kind of continuity with the offense. So that's not as big a concern for me as it just is. It still feels like he's a little bit overvalued right now. And I look at some of the trades that you can make And I just see, take this one, for example, that happened yesterday, and this is over on Fantasy Calc. You could take a guy like Jalen McMillan and another guy who I wouldn't mind trading, like Tyrone Tracy, and package those dudes together for this went down just yesterday for 2025 pick 110. And that can get you that might get you Egbuka, or it might get you Matthew Golden, right? It could get you RJ Harvey or possibly Caleb Johnson or this type of player. So that would be something that I would be looking to do. As far as what you can get from McMillan sort of on his own, not quite as robust. It looks like some of the best that I've seen for him is some of this stuff right at the end of the second round, beginning of third round in 2025, and maybe some 2026 twos. For me, it's time to cash in the chips on Jalen McMillan. If you can, I do think the sentiment around your league will probably be kind of negative around him either way.
Yeah, I think so. But I'll go to, McMillan was on my list, but I'll go to another guy on the same team, and that's Cade Otton.
What are you going to get for Cade Otton in Dynasty? Maybe in tight end premium, he could be
tight end right. Potentially. I mean, I think you could probably get more for Cade Otton compared relative to other tides than you could with McMillan at his position. He got off whenever Godwin got off the field. That's when he came on in 2024. And so you add Egbuka to the mix, another good receiver, good pass catcher. I think, Otten's the odd man out there. When we're just talking about the starting offense. I mean, we just look at, even in their playoff appearances last season, he wasn't really implemented. He wasn't really a part of that game plan near the end of the season. To me, I think Otten's had his, played his best football that we're probably going to see out of him, at least in the next couple of years. Just too many mouths to feed in that Tampa offense now. And with Godwin getting healthy again.
Listen to this, dude. So how about some of these trades? So this in tight end premium, Cade Otton plus a 2026 round three for Tony Pollard. I think I'd be interested in that.
Yeah, for sure.
How about
especially Pollard hooked up with Cam Ward. It's going to need those dump offs.
Cade Otton for a 2027 round one. Oh my goodness. Sign me up for that. Do you know what the 2027 class is going to look like, Trash Man? That was in a super flex. So that's going to be the Arch Manning draft. That's going to be the Ryan Williams from Alabama draft. That's going to be the Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State draft. It's going to be like Ryan Wingo from Texas. That's going to be a whole lot of super duper studs in that class. The 2027 class is going to be very, very good for our dynasty rookie drafts. If you can get a 2020, like that just happened today, a 2027 one in tight end premium for Cade Otton. I'm seeing here.
I'd take that all day.
I'm seeing here that somebody was, there was one other I thought was interesting, that somebody was able to package Cade Otton and George Pickens for a 2025 for this year's 108.
That's good.
Those are the kinds of deals that I want to be making.
No, absolutely, and that's why I think Cade Otton. I think he's his sell. I think
he had no idea
that his value is as high as I think it's going to be.
I didn't know that he would be somebody that people would consider a viable throw in. If somebody sent me someone with Cade Otton, I'd be like, that just feels like a throw in. That's probably a decent call. I'm gonna ruffle some feathers here with you, Trash Man. Look, this isn't a guy I'm saying you need to go out and trade, right? Or a guy that you need to go out and sell, right? But let me just look and see where he is, and you can tell me whether or not you think that this is viable or not. Because what you can get for this guy is through the roof based on some of the trades that I saw going down. And I hate to say it, but keep trade cut. This is the number 9 player in all of Dynasty, and it's Brian Thomas Jr. And look, he's been great for you. You look at him and you're like, dude, what are you saying to trade away a guy that's like not even 23 years old yet?
that came in, had the monster season already. Seems to have a great connection with his young quarterback. He's getting a major upgrade in offensive coordinator with Liam Cohen coming in there. And what I'll say to that is this is for three reasons only, right? First reason is Travis Hunter does enter the picture here, and he has the upside to become one of these elite fantasy options at the wide receiver spot, right? Travis Hunter has it in him to come into the league and be a Jamar Chase, be a Justin Jefferson, be in that echelon that is, a tier ahead of where, I think you'd agree. You'd rather have a Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, those guys over a BTJ at this point.
I mean, you're not ruffling my feathers because he was on my list.
Yeah, so we're going to have all this. This could be like a 10-minute podcast, Trash.
there weren't that many players who it was obvious that were going to need to be sells, but.
And so it's like, look, and BTJ is good. If you want to keep him, it's fine. You want to dance with who brung you, it's fine. But there is some risk here.
Saying compared to what his value is currently, yeah, I don't think you'll be getting any.
Do you know what he fetches right now on the open market? Like, let me search up some of these trades. I was looking at him earlier and I couldn't believe it. Like, you can trade Brian Thomas straight up for Nico Collins and a 2025 first.
Wow.
Like, you can
I don't know if I trade him straight up for Nico Collins.
I mean, isn't that you can, this is my, these are my favorite kind of ones where you get to trade Brian Thomas and Jerry. This happened just yesterday in a two quarterback, 12 team league. It was Brian Thomas and Jerry Jeudy package for Jamar Chase.
Wow.
But I mean, if people are looking at him like that, where it's like, I can package, I could package him with a guy like, Jeudy, who obviously, I don't know how you feel about Jeudy with the quarterback situation or how things are going to, but it's like, there are people who think of Jeudy as like a guy in best ball right now. You take seventh, eighth round, something like that, and they think it's fine.
I think Cody likes Jeudy quite a bit based on his ranking.
But like Brian Thomas and I can level up to Jamar Chase and all I got to do is throw in a Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, that's an easy.
I feel very, very, very secure about that. And you look at this other stuff and you're like, all right, do I want Brian Thomas or do I want, say, DJ Moore plus a 2026 round one and a 2026 round three? Like, Brian Thomas, I know he's worth a lot to your roster right now, but do you want Brian Thomas and the 2025 101 and the 2025 102? That pick just happened. That trade just happened today. And again, I'm over on the Fantasy Calc trade database that pulls in all the trades from the different sites and tells you the formats. Dude, 2 ones for anybody is something that you got to consider. And when you have just a little bit of systemic risk here with Brian Thomas, you could consider selling him. I hate to say it, but you just can.
No, I completely agree.
Who else do you have on your list?
Who else on my list? I have, you may disagree with this, and that's Khalil Shakir.
I'm always fine to see. What is he like? Is he worth much right now?
Yeah. People view him as the Bills' number one receiver. And the thing is, I don't even think now he's their best slot receiver. I think you bring Elijah Moore onto that. I think Elijah Moore is better than Khalil.
Well, as a prospect, I certainly liked him better, but I'm not sure you can say it now.
I don't know that he's ever really gotten a chance to thrive like he will.
The Bills have extended Shakir, and all anybody's ever done is tried to pass around Elijah Moore. I mean, that has to tell us something.
I mean, I don't know that Elijah Moore's ever been paired with a good quarterback for any length of time on any of the teams he's been on. I think he's a more dynamic player than Shakir. I didn't like Shakir in the pre-draft process. I mean, neither one of us did. We were surprised when he caught on to the Bills like he did, and it almost seemed out of necessity more than anything else. I just don't think Shakir's a true number one receiver, and I think as they get more options, viable options on that team as far as receiver goes. You know, Keon Coleman steps up. Joshua Palmer's there now. Like I said, Elijah Moore is there now. They draft Caden Prather. They have quite a few undrafted free agents. I just don't see him bringing wide receiver one value. Or barely wide receiver two value outside, you know, deep, you know, outside of all his shallow PPR format.
Outside of what?
PPR format.
Oh, okay. Not really too many interesting trades I see here. I see one league he got traded up for Chris Godwin. I don't know if that really moves the needle too much for me.
What? You wouldn't trade Shakir for Chris Godwin?
I think I would. I think Godwin's going to only be viable for me for another 2 years.
Hey, that might be longer than Shakir's viable.
Yeah, it looks like. But most of these Shakir ones are, I mean, would I think trading away Khalil Shakir for and a 2025 410 for a 2026 2 and a 2027 2, that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
David Montgomery plus Khalil Shakir for a 2026 round one and a 2027 round one. I would do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I would do that. Khalil Shakir and pick 203 for DK Metcalf and pick 307. So that would be like Khalil Shakir and Jaden Blue for DK Metcalf and like, what do you think? DK Metcalf and say, like Woody Marks.
Yeah.
I mean, that feels pretty even to me.
I still think you're getting the better player out of it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You want to come out of these with the best players, and some of these are ones where you're certainly going to want to package them. The next guy I'll bring up is, I think, falls along that same line. And if you look at keep, trade, cut, it's going to be Kyren Williams, and there's a couple reasons why. Hmm. It's that so Kyren right now, he's actually valued a little bit higher than I would have thought.
I would have thought he'd be valued pretty high.
Really? I mean, 40 overall?
Yeah.
He is only just about to turn 25. So that's one thing. But it worries me that I haven't heard anything from Les Snead or that team since back in January about them extending him. And he's set to be a free agent after this year. And they drafted Blake Corum last year. And they drafted Jarquez Hunter this year. I think Jarquez Hunter is an awesome runner. I'm a little bit worried that Blake Corum might not see the 2022 Blake Corum that we saw before his injury back in Michigan. And so I do think it might be Jarquez Hunter. You know, that's an aside, but it's also just like the 40th overall player. It's Kyren Williams, who's a sub athlete who really feels like needs to be in that system. And with that coaching staff willing to give him all that volume to be able to, be able to accrue the fantasy points that we've come to expect out of him. Right. It's like a perfect fit and a perfect marriage. And he might not be back there after this season. How interested are you in Kyren Williams if he gets traded to Seattle or if he goes to Seattle as a free agent?
I don't see him going to Seattle. I mean, I think short up that backfield.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like if he goes to Minnesota,
I don't hate him in Minnesota, to be honest.
Okay. I don't hate him either. But it's like, you want him as much as you want him there with LA when you know what they're willing to do with him and give him one of the best touch shares and all the fantasy football and all the rest of it, the stuff that we've come to rely on that drives his fantasy value.
I mean, yeah, for me, it's like might as well leave well enough alone with Kyren Williams. I mean, he seems to be pretty entrenched in that role, and he seems to be pretty stout. Pretty, you know, he doesn't get injured a lot. So for me, I don't really see it as a sell high, but I mean, I see your logic behind it, but it's I don't know. To me. I try not to operate out of fear and fantasy. I mean, I feel like that's a little bit too, for me, a little bit too, too scary.
In tight end premium, Sam Laporta and Kyren Williams or Bijan Robinson in a 2026 one.
Well, I don't like Sam. I almost put Sam Laporta on this list.
But what about that question? Sam Laporta and Kyren Williams or Bijan in the 2026 one?
Oh, well, that's easy.
Well, that's the kind of thing that you can get going right now. Kyren Williams or a one next year and the 210 this year.
The one what this year?
The Kyren, which was, I've already scrolled down from that one. What was the one that I asked you about?
You said Kyren's a one and then 210, I think.
Oh, Kyren Williams, a 2026 round one in the 2025 210.
Okay, 26, just round one, any round one pick in 2026?
It's where, I mean, I'd have to look and see how I thought that owner was going to finish next season.
Yeah.
They fit, I mean, they have the 210 this season, so they obviously finished, what, third place last year? So it might, if they continue to be good, they'll probably be, it'll probably be a later first round pick.
I mean, as a trash man, I'd probably pull that trigger, just like a...
What about Jacoby Myers and Kyren Williams for Nico Collins?
In a dynasty?
Yeah. What do you think we're talking about?
I mean, I don't know. If you're asking me in redraft in like a 1 year thing, I'd be more hesitant to do that, but I could do that in a dynasty for sure.
And then this is what you can, these are the kinds of trades you can pull off. How about Kyren Williams straight up for the 108 this season? So you're basically saying Kyren Williams or RJ Harvey or Caleb Johnson or something. Is that about where you value him?
That's probably about where I value him. Okay, I mean, Caleb Johnson, I think potentially could be a dog there in Pittsburgh. He's going to take over that backfield.
My favorite thing to do is to see if I can package up a Kyren Williams and like see if I can package him up and just go get one of these big dogs. I'd like that Jacoby Myers, Kyren Williams deal for Nico Collins, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And certainly a Laporta and a Kyren Williams for Bijan in a 2026 one is just absurd. All right. You got any more left?
Yeah. How about... Oh, I have quite a few that I'd had. Well, honestly, either of the Steelers wide starting two outside wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with all that either, trash man.
I mean, Metcalf and Pickens. I like, if I'm an owner of Metcalf and or Pickens, I'm trying to get them off of my team. I mean, Mason Rudolph looks like he could be the quarterback for the entirety of the 2025 season. I mean, they added Will Howard. Maybe that works out from at some point in his rookie season, but I doubt it. You know, I guess there's a chance that Aaron Rodgers signs, but I don't even know if that makes it that much better than a Mason Rudolph at this point. I just don't like either of their upsides. And I think right now their value is really probably going to be as high as it's going to be.
Metcalf is showing on Keep Trade Cut that he's not had any movement in his 30-day trend as far as where he sits at number 60. That's a great guy to trade.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would. So DK Metcalf is 27.4. He's number 60 overall right now on Keep Trade Cut. DJ Moore is just 20. DJ Moore is only half a year older. Yeah. I think I'd rather have DJ Moore. Like Golden's value after him. I'd rather have Golden, you know, not even 22 years old yet. Waddle's kind of Waddle, I guess, is a little bit interesting with all the weird stuff up in the air with Tyreek Hill.
I mean, he's a buy low for sure.
So I like that. It makes sense. It looks like George Pickens is down here at 81. He's fallen 9 spots over the last 30 days. I wonder if like what kind of if I wonder if any geniuses out there put together any packages to go out and get one of these big fish for DK Metcalf. Somebody in a super flex was able to trade DK Metcalf and Bryce Young away for Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
I think that's find that kind of interesting. DK Metcalf for the 110. Yeah. Yes, please. DK Metcalf in a, this is not one, in a 2026 round two for Shedeur Sanders in a 2027 one. I don't like either. I don't want either side of that. DK Metcalf.
I like taking a chance on Sanders and then getting one 2 years, you know, into the future. Why not?
How about this? DK Metcalf in the 105 for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit steep. That 105 is the sweet spot where you can take one of the, you know, whoever's left between those top six that we discussed of in Superflex at least.
Yeah, I mean, we still don't know if they're going to be hits or not for sure.
But yeah, I mean, you're guaranteed like an Omarion Hampton, a Travion, a Tet McMillan, a Travis Hunter, a Cam Ward.
I think you're right there on like. I think you might have missed a Henderson. You might have missed a Hampton. You're going to have missed a Genty. You're going to miss a Hunter. So then that's that Tech McMillan. I don't love Tech McMillan in Carolina in his rookie season with Bryce Young. So, like,
With the 105, at the 105, you would have a choice. I think, you know, you wouldn't have to take Tet.
Who do you think?
Because there's six who we talked about taking. So you get Travion.
So no. So I said Travion's going to get taken. He's probably going to get taken in the top three.
Not always. Top four in Superflex.
Right. And so then after Henderson, Hampton,
sometimes he goes five. Like it can go Genty, Ward, Hunter, Tet.
Yeah.
Or Genty, Ward, Hunter, Hampton.
I mean, I'm just saying it's right there, though. I mean, I guess at the five, that's probably right. The latest I would take.
All right.
Potentially.
You got another one, or you want me to read out these last couple I got?
I have some more. I have Mark Andrews.
Well, you can't get a sack of peanuts for Mark
Andrews. Some people still believe in Mark Andrews. You know, they saw that, you know, basically he's re-signed basically. I think they still believe that the Ravens are going to use him to some useful extent. I just think that you could probably still get some value from Mark Andrews out there in the open market. Just considering how weak the tight end market is out there.
I'm not seeing much that I really love as far as Mark Andrews or Brian Robinson in a 2025 310.
Brian Robinson.
Yeah, they didn't do much, did they?
I was looking at that. I was considering. I was like, maybe Robinson needs to go. And I was looking at the backfield. I'm like, they didn't really do much.
Well, they brought in Ja'Cory Crosby-Merritt.
Yeah, but I mean,
but he's actually, I mean, Cody liked him at the Shrine Bowl.
Well, I don't think he's going to supplant Robinson so much as he would Aguilera.
Here are my final two. I think Jaden Reed, if you can get anything good for him, is probably worth selling. I think people know that Christian Watson is going to be out for, you know, a good portion of the start of next season, and they're going to say, well, he's the kind of the de facto number one sort of in name, right? But man, you look at it from last year and just from having him in so many dynasty leagues, we were such big fans of Jaden Reed. It kind of pains me to say it, but it felt like the volume just wasn't there for him. You know, it's like you look at his like overall fantasy scoring and his points per game, and you're like, dude, it only fell from 13.5 in 2023 to 11.7 in 2024. But you forget that he had the monster game where he just went crazy in week one, where he scored 33 fantasy points. And then he had another 27 point fantasy game at the beginning of the season at home versus Minnesota. And other than that, man, he kind of had a bunch of these stinker games, right? And never only had one game of over six targets all year long, and that was in that Minnesota game where he went for 27.1 fantasy points. Whereas in 2023, it was more evenly distributed through the course of, like, just a more steady, consistent contributor from week to week, where it wasn't – you could slot him in your lineup and you felt good, right? Where it's like more than six targets, one, two, three, four, five, six times last year as opposed to only one time – or in 2023, as opposed to only one time in 2024. And what's concerning to me is, like, you look at PFF and you look like some of these, I can't figure out why, because it's like some of his numbers are actually better. He was better last year in his yards per route run. Did have a lower ADOT, 8.5 versus 10, basically running the same amount out of the slot, right there at 75% of his routes out of the slot. The yards per reception, even though the ADOT was lower, the yards per reception was higher in 2024. It was like the only thing that you saw that was a major problem in 2024, and it's something that you know just from having watched him, trash man, I'm sure, as you say, it was the drops. He had a 14.5%. He had 10 drops last year, a 14.5% drop rate as opposed to a 4.2% drop rate in his rookie season. But I look at him like, man, some of these underlying numbers for him actually outside of the drops were actually better last season. And it was still this weird wackadoodle season. And now you bring in Matthew Golden and you bring in Savion Williams, who are better players than Romeo Dobbs and Dontavian Wicks. I think it's going to be a little bit of a squeeze, dude, especially if they want to go with two tight end sets and stuff. You're going to have those two tight ends in Green Bay back healthy again, too. What happens to Jaden Reed in those sets?
I don't disagree that it's going to be a musical chairs kind of situation. I just really don't know who it's going to be. I had a couple more guys. I had just off of name recognition. That's Christian Kirk and Tyler Lockett.
Sell though? You can't, dude. Come on. You, what are you trying to sell these guys for?
A name recognition. Christian Kirk on a new team, you know, at this moment projected to be their number two wide receiver. For the Texans.
Trash man, this is garage sale stuff. This is Christian Kirk. Kiki is going to get you a bag of peanuts. Have there even been a Christian Kirk for the 412 and the 512? Would you want that? A 2026-3? Here I see one Christian Kirk for the 208.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk for the 402.
Not so much.
Christian Kirk for the 302.
That's closer.
Christian Kirk for the 304. So you can maybe get Christian Kirk for a mid to late third rounder. And you like that? You'd rather see if you can get a Jalen Royals or one of these younger wide receivers?
Yeah, I'd like to see one of the other Texans wide receivers that they added.
Heck, you might be able to get Jalen Knoll.
Yeah.
He went in the third round of our mock yesterday.
Yeah. And I think Lockett's in a similar type.
He's not. People are going to worry that he even makes the team.
How did you think? You think so that he'll actually even make the team?
No, I don't know. I haven't looked at his contract or anything. It's like, they brought in two rookie wide receivers in the draft. They brought in Restrepo. They brought in earlier in the season Van Jefferson. They have.
If you're just looking at this straight up, I mean, like, after Ridley, Lockett's the next biggest name on that list. I mean, and the next guy people are going to think about is an actual number two off the bat.
Let me look it up. I mean, maybe people are trading for Tyler. Maybe you play in leagues where it's in the leagues I play in, people are very ageist and they are not interested in this. It's like I'm seeing like. People, Geno Smith in a two quarterback league, Geno Smith plus Tyler Lockett for Xavier freaking Restrepo. Tyler Lockett for a 2025 fourth. Tyler Lockett in the 312 for Juwan Jennings. Tyler Lockett in the 208 to get up to the 205. I'm not trash, man. I'm not sure people are going to be. I think you might be better off with it. I think you might be better off selling them all that trash in your pocket than selling Tyler Lockett in a
dynasty league where
he's king. Doing it while you can, while he has some name recognition still.
All right, my final one. Speaking of name recognition, we'll get out of here on this one, Trash Man. You can tell me who you think it is, okay? This player is a player that has a ton of name recognition and who right now on Keep Trade Cut is the number 19 player on Keep Trade Cut in non Superflex. So number 19 in non Superflex, okay?
Okay.
This is a guy who still this is my big hint. I wouldn't think after his rookie season he would still be thought of this highly among dynasty players. And it feels like they're hanging on due to sunk cost fallacy. And this is a player where I can trade him right now for the 2025 108 and the 2026 round one. I can do something where I can package him with, say like in Superflex.
I mean, it's Marvin Harrison Jr.
Is he a sell?
Yeah. I mean, you know how I feel about Marvin Harrison Jr. You know how I felt about him since the joint practices with the Colts last in his rookie season when y'all got on me about, you know, what is Marvin Harrison Jr. doing?
And what is it for the people who might not have been listening?
Zip. Butkus. You know, he disappears at stretches. I'm all for getting Marvin Harrison Jr. onto someone else's team.
Summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.